How would you describe your top priorities for the 2013 session?
Well, obviously, you mean the economy and job is first and foremost. Close second is marriage equality, and that's why I've ramped up in marriage equality to have that out of here by January, not only to have it done quickly, have it done successfully, but also so we get back to what I think's got to be our priority is how do we turn the state around economically? How do we create jobs so that we have Rhode Islanders that want to live, work, and make this a great state and not continue to have the population declines that they were just reporting about a few days ago?
The House plans a January 17th conference on to discuss the economy. What policy changes do you think are needed to improve Rhode Island's economy?
Rhode Island seems to always rank at the bottom of all these economic indicators, and this has been our history forever, it seems. We're the first into recession, the last out of recession. If something's going to give in this state, we actually need to hear from people and put some practical applications to make long-term economic growth, which means jobs, into the state of Rhode Island. So that's what I hope to come out of this, is to have some real practical policy solutions. I don't want to sway either way what Gordon Fox, myself, is looking for. But let's hear. We have a lot of new representatives. Hear from experts. Have them in a room for 5 hours. And then we'll caucus. We'll talk about things and move forward as to where Rhode Island should or should not be going.
You said during your opening day speech that you think the legislature should restructure the State Economic Development Corporation. Are you committed to doing that in this session?
I think I'm committed to having some real conversations to put some proposals forward again, because if you look at those, it talks about, I mean, how do we look at, I like the idea of having commerce because it takes into what I think government should be doing and needs to be getting better at, and we've made some movement in those realms, public education, infrastructure, repair and replacement, as well as building infrastructure. Those, I think, we saw with the infrastructure fund last year, with the education funding formula and the accelerating of that. I think we're getting better at that as we keep talking about teacher training, teacher certification, as those are gnarly issues, but we're working on that stuff. Those are traditional rules government takes that lead to economic development. So I like the idea of a commerce that brings all this together, how we decide where we're going to go at the state and do it with the right people in the room and transparent as possible, but always communicating to the public, this is where we need to be going, and this is our plan for getting there.
The big story in Rhode Island last year was obviously the demise of 38 studios. What if you learned from that?
Well, again, it gets me to learn that it's got to be transparent. It's got to be planned. I mean, I've said, and I got my butt handed to me, that the job development, the loan guarantee program itself may not be a bad mechanism. But again, it's got to be, is that what government should be doing is the first question. And then what segments and how should that loan guarantee go to in terms of our economy? And then how was that vetted? How was it monitored? All of that seemed to be broken. We created a loan guarantee program to create jobs and to give access to capital. 38 studios obviously didn't work. I think we need to use that example to find, unfortunately, what went wrong there and go forward from that. And ultimately, is it something government should be doing?
One of the big issues this year at the General Assembly, aside from the economy, is same-sex marriage. How far are you willing to go to ensure that the General Assembly approves same-sex marriage?
I'm the Speaker of the House, so I've already laid the foundation, and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure the House passes it. We have a governor that's committed to signing it. Obviously, that leads you to, with the three sections of government in this building, that it's up to the Senate to, I think they should pass it. I think they should pass it quickly. I think it's long overdue to do so. I'll have conversations with the president on that, but obviously the Senate president runs her chamber. So I've been pushing already. I've been pushing before we even were here during the electoral process in supporting candidates.
How will you respond if the Senate approves same-sex marriage but makes it conditional on a statewide vote?
I have said that I don't support putting civil rights issues like the same-sex marriage issue on the ballot. We are a representation of democracy. The founding fathers of this country, because they were all men in the room, decided that was the best form of government. It's worked for us thus far. So, and I've said it first day, when you're elected a representative or a Senate, you're elected to make those decisions. I don't believe in punting it. I believe you don't leave that to divisive referendums that leave this stuff to the will of the majority, quite frankly.
The state faces a relatively manageable deficit for the fiscal year starting July 1st of just under $70 million, but there are some very large deficits going forward. How do you think the state should get a better handle on its spending to cut down these looming deficits for the future?
That deficit would probably be a lot worse if we didn't make tough decisions like pension reform in terms of where our revenues are going. But also, we've seen some uptick in revenues coming in, I mean, our expenditures. We've seen some uptick on revenues. That's a good sign. sign. But I think we've already, I've asked this General Assembly, and this General Assembly has already made tough decisions. We do have still a structural deficit. I think that needs to be hearings conducted, what's causing the problem, how can we make it better, and I think the whole economic development discussion has to be engaged in that, because inherent in economic development discussion is tax policy. What does our tax policy look like? Is our tax policy as it stands equitable? Is it fair? Is it raising the amount of revenues we need for vital programs? That's a legitimate conversation to have, and we're going to have that conversation.
Speaking of tax policy, some people in labor want to see the tax rate go up for upper-income earners. Do you support or oppose that?
Well, I've always said I supported that nationally, and we've seen some movement towards that nationally. I'm not opposed to it. We reformed taxes about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Didn't take effect until last year, which is just the first experiential evidence, if you will. So some of the fiscal people looking at that, and I've said all along, even last year, even though people didn't want to listen, it was I don't support changing anything without the empirical data to figure if we've already put a larger tax burden on the rich. If you remember, we take a lot of the exemptions away, and it tends to be the wealthier people that go for the exemptions. So that may have already happened. We're now getting that data, looking at it. But again, from a broader sense of how do we raise revenues, how do we utilize revenues, what's the most equitable policy to do that, I'm open to a discussion on all of that.
You might be open to raising the taxes on upper-income earners in Rhode Island.
I'm not supportive of just raising it to say that we raised it, but if there's a broad tax policy that comes forward that shows that we've got a more equitable tax policy, which I would even throw local property tax issues in there, then I'm open to listening to that and hearing it and doing some studies on that.
One of the issues in the news recently is the move approved by the Assembly last year to merge the state boards of education for K-12 and higher education. Why did you support merging these two boards of education?
I'm still troubled by the fact that so many young people that go to CCRI and other public education, higher education institutions have to do a lot of remedial education. At some point, there were studies saying that over a year and a half at CCRI spent on remedial. That tells me someone's not getting what they need, young people, the tools they need in public education. So I think there needs a better way to join them. Chairman Mello, this was the proposal that he came up with and supported by Chairman DuPont in the Senate. I'm still supportive of both those gentlemen's efforts in this regard.
In 2011, the House killed a binding arbitration bill that had been approved by the Senate. Do you still oppose that kind of legislation?
At this point, I would not put a binding arbitration bill before the legislators on this day. So I wouldn't be supportive of that right now, but I've had no conversation on that.
In terms of payday lending, that issue is expected to come up again this year at the General Assembly. Do you support an effort to reduce the high rate of annual interest can be charged on payday loans?
I don't like people being ripped off. I don't like predatory lending practices, but I also understand for folks that have nowhere else to go, it might be a valid tool for them to go to and not be driven to more onerous kinds of lending, including internet lending at higher interest rates, if you can imagine this thing, or backroom lending, which is even worse. So I'm committed to, I want to make sure that any practice we have are fair to people, that offer them the opportunity to have the financial means offered to them when they need it, but fairly.
You're a friend and ally of Providence Mayor Angel Taveras. If he runs for governor in 2014, is there any way that you would not support him?
Wow. I'm worried about what we're doing in 2012. I know everyone's already looking at 2014. I think I saw something today. They're already talking about who's going to be the next presidential candidate before President Obama's even inaugurated. So you journalists like to do that. I'm not going to go to Angel. I agree with you and concur wholeheartedly. Angel is a dear friend of mine. I'm a big supporter of Angel. He's done a great job for the city of Providence. So I'm a big supporter of his, but it's too early to talk about 2014.
Do you support or oppose the idea of calling a constitutional convention?
I generally oppose calling con-cons because, sometimes con-cons can lead to bad issues being vetted and put about, too. So I believe in representational democracy, like I said. They are appropriate. I'm going to say that I don't support the concept of con-cons, but it's always about what they often can make more mischief and then the people realize they can make. I'll leave it at that.
House Speaker Gordon Fox, thank you for sitting down with us.
Thank you, Ian.